If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
The season's over.
Ridiculous.
But hockey continues.
Thank God. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God.
It's Blackhawks Live.
You know it.
Wait, what did you say?
It's Blackhawks Live, the offseason.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live podcast edition. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio at WGN Radio. And as always, my guy, Jack Heinrich, riding shotgun. It is July 2nd. Summer is here. It's like 1,000 degrees outside, yeah. But we still have some Blackhawks hockey to talk about. So what's going on, Jack?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, a lot going on. We had the draft, free agency started, dev camp. I mean, it's, like you said, hot out, but kind of feels like hockey season a little bit.
So the last time we did a podcast, we were previewing the NHL draft when the Blackhawks held the number 4 overall pick, and we were going through every possible scenario on, is Stenberg going to be there? Is it going to be Caleb Malhotra? Because the defensemen are, is Chase Reed going to be available for the Blackhawks? And we spent all that time and energy into who the Blackhawks could take, and they end up moving the pick for Bowen Byram. From the Buffalo Sabres, and it was a really big blockbuster move that Chicago made, because I believe it was the first time in like 20 years that a top 5 pick in the NHL was traded. So I thought that in itself is kind of a significant storyline in the NHL. But for the Blackhawks to move out of the number 4 overall pick to acquire who they believe can be a number 1 defenseman, but they also gave up the 45th overall pick and defenseman Louis Crevier, who, if you listen to the WGN radio broadcast, he holds a special place in our hearts, Louis Crevier. And so that was painful to watch him be included in the deal as well. But I thought it was an interesting move by Kyle Davidson to decide, rather than draft the best available defenseman at number 4, knowing that Stenberg was not going to be there with the 4th overall pick after San Jose made a trade earlier in the day for the number 9 overall pick. And so it kind of became clear that Stenberg was going to be taken by San Jose with the 2nd overall pick. And he was the guy the Blackhawks were targeting. And so they end up pivoting and they get a defenseman in Bowen Byram, who is, the Blackhawks are hoping, is their number 1 defenseman for the long term.
Yeah, Kyle Davidson acted really quick, because that trade was like, what, 2 hours before Davidson pulled the trigger? So it was a big price to pay, but if they believe in him like that, then you're willing to do that. And it did sound like San Jose was sniffing around the Byram trade as well. So it seemed like Davidson paid up to get him, and of not letting San Jose get him, which was, it seems like a good move, because you don't want San Jose to keep loading up, because everyone loved their draft and they've got a few defensemen in free agency now. So, and that's a team you're probably going to be facing if the rebuild works and you're in the playoffs. That's a team you're going to see a lot. So to get Byram from Buffalo and not have him go to San Jose, it makes sense why the price tag was so much, and then the extension too to make him stay, because he only had 1 year left.
Right, and it sounds like San Jose sniffing around on a serious level for Byram really did impact the Blackhawks needing to step up their offer, because originally it was reported that Buffalo was offering San Jose, or was asking San Jose, for the number 2 overall pick.
Yeah.
And San Jose said, that's off limits. We're not moving that pick, because they wanted to take Ivar Stenberg. But San Jose did have the 9th overall pick to offer, in addition to the first round pick that they acquired, or kind of moved back 7 spots
right
to acquire Michael Kesering from the Utah Mammoth. And so San Jose was offering the 9th overall pick, number 27, and they were also offering a prospect. This is according to John Buchergras, who has been confirmed by multiple insiders that San Jose was the offer. And so Chicago is sitting there offering the 4th pick, the 45th overall pick, and likely a prospect too, a lower level prospect, and then they to kind of put themselves ahead of San Jose's offer, they probably had to up it into becoming Louis Crevier, and that's why the Blackhawks decided to, or not decided to, but that's why the Blackhawks ended up potentially overpaying for a guy that 2 years ago was traded for Casey Mittelstadt in a one-for-one deal. And so that kind of, you know, you see that on the surface level and you're like, man, you know, they could have gotten him a couple years ago for that, but there was still a lot of uncertainty. And I'll say this too, Bowen Byram was drafted fourth overall in 2019. It really wasn't until this past season, or maybe the season before, so let's just say the past two seasons, that Byram has really grown into a top four role on a consistent level where you feel good enough that he has is reaching his prime and he's elevating his game. That was 2019 when he was drafted. Yeah. So we're talking like this is 7 years later. Think about if the Blackhawks did draft a defenseman at number four, literally the same spot that Byram was drafted in 2019. Like that player might not hit their prime window until 6-7 years from now. And so that was maybe part of the Blackhawks thinking as well. Like, why don't we just go get a guy that we know is a top four defenseman and can potentially grow into a number one defenseman if given the responsibility and the minutes, which the Blackhawks are going to give him here.
Yeah, it is about the role too, because he was kind of buried in Buffalo and it didn't seem like he was going to extend there either. And the Hawks have all this cap space, so that helps with that too. And I think you make a great point about the draft. When you, especially we've seen with all the young defensemen, it takes a while for them to develop, right? And the Hawks are they're trying to step out of the rebuild. And I think this move shows them moving towards that because they're getting the, I don't want to say finished product, but like he's been in the NHL for 6 years, so he's more of a veteran, even though he's 25. But it helps them push it forward, and then he can grow with the core too. That's I think why they did it too, because he's 25. You have all these young guys. You have all these young guys on D too. So he can grow with them into building the team back up into the Stanley Cup playoffs, and hopefully get in there soon. And it seems like he can help on the power play, because like we talked about, Connor Bedard was the quarterback at the end of the year, so they need that defenseman, the quarterback, and it seems like Byram can help that. And there's his offense too, with puck moving, just getting it to Bedard and the forwards, whoever he's playing with, could be very beneficial for the offense too.
I wonder too how much the Byram acquisition helps take some of the pressure off of Artem Levchinov and Sam Rozelle to not have to be that number one guy. I think the Blackhawks were hoping that they would grow into that number one defenseman role, and they still could be. Like if Byram doesn't exactly become that number one, and Sam Rozelle and Artem Levchinov are on that trajectory as well, like one of the three has to become the one. Right now, the Hawks have paid a premium to get Bowen Byram, but then they also stepped up to the plate in their contract extension for Bowen Byram with a 6-year extension, $12.5 million cap hit, which was announced on Wednesday when the free agency window opened, but that was also the day that Bowen Byram could officially sign his extension. So the Hawks are investing in him in a lot of ways, in the price that they paid for Byram, but also in the financial aspect of it, of paying him number one money. But I guess when I'm saying that, to get back to my point, is the Hawks are hoping that, or kind of hinging their rebuild, that Bowen Byram will become the number one defenseman because they did pay him that money. But if he doesn't become that true number one, who's to say that Levchinov or Rozelle won't get to that level, and then they can step into that role and Bowen Byram moves to just be a top pairing guy, or the number three, you know, like he becomes more of a 2-3. Now, I'm thinking longer term. I'm thinking of the options of when it goes well, he's the number one, but if it doesn't go particularly well, Byram is still good enough to be a 2-3 on this team.
Yeah, it just seems like Davidson was solidifying the D-core, and even if it is, like you said, he doesn't develop into that guy, you have to feel good about one of those three, like we talked about. I mean, just last year, like we were talking how high a lot of people were on Sam Rinzell, and he had a tough year, but that doesn't mean to say he didn't learn from it or grow from it or get better from it. He's still so young. Him and Levchinov are so young. So it seems like you just want to get talent, right? And that's what the point in where they are in the rebuild, right? And just shuffling through the talent they have. And I mean, if two of those guys hit, you're sitting in a great spot if they have like those two on a top pairing. So it does seem, I did like what Byram said in his media availability though, saying that I understand what they did to trade for me. I understand, like, the contract wasn't done when he was talking, but he's like, I understand the commitment they're making. He's like, now it's on me to deliver. And right. I like him saying that. It is July, so it's all talk, but he's saying the right things, and now he's just got to prove it in the season.
Yeah, his direct quote is, now the ball is in my court to perform. Yeah. So it's like he understands the responsibility that is going to come with not just the Blackhawks investing in him from a financial standpoint, but also what they gave up to get him. I think you could take that one of two ways. You can feel the pressure that it comes with it, or you can feel the confidence that the organization has instilled in him and feel free to play, knowing that he's here in Chicago and it's like, you're our guy. Like, we've right. invested in you. Similar to Quinn Hughes when he got traded to Minnesota, he said part of the reason why he wanted to go to the Wild is because Bill Guerin stepped up in a big way and offered Vancouver a significant package and was like, I don't want to beat around the bush. I believe in this player. I want to get him, and I'll step up in my original offer. And so Quinn Hughes felt that love from Minnesota,
right.
And he's like, I'll go there because he was appreciative of how the organization felt about him. Now, I will say this, the Byram extension itself, 6 years, $12.5 million, $12.5 million cap hit, that makes him the highest paid defenseman from a cap hit standpoint, which this contract kicks in the 27-28 season. So he's not the highest paid defenseman going into next season.
$6 million this year.
Correct. It's like $6.25 million this year. So the 12.5 kicks in next year. But this is temporary because Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar are going to blow that out of the water because their contracts are also due in that following season, or when Bowen Byram's new deal kicks in. So Byram will eventually go down in the pecking order. And he's not just going to go down in the pecking order a significant amount. Like, Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet predicts that his prediction for Quinn Hughes' next contract is $18 million. Oh, so Byram getting 12.5 and Cale Makar might be in that same range. Like, Cale Makar might get 20.
Yeah,
like, who knows?
For sure.
Then it may, I think I see this two ways. One, I will admit when I saw the contract extension for Byram, I'm like, That's a lot. Like, mm-hmm. that 12.5 is a lot. But then that thought was quickly interrupted by the thought of, I think we need to get used to the new NHL landscape on this is going to be the going rate for some of these players that are graduating into an elite level, like stardom or even fourth liners. Like, some of the money that got thrown around. AJ Greer is a fourth line player. He got 4 years, $4.25 million cap hit with the Florida Panthers. Colton Sizes from the Toronto Maple Leafs, 2 years, $4.25 million. He's a fourth line player. I originally read that. I saw that the report come in about Colton Sizes. I'm like, oh, that's total AAV, right? 4.2 for 2 years. Yeah. It's like, no, per year. And I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah.
So this I think is just going to be the going rate for, like, the new NHL landscape from a financial standpoint. So there was a part of me that was like, oof, I was like, that's a lot, because Byram hasn't proven to be the number one guy yet, but the Hawks are betting on him to become that player, given the responsibility, the minutes, all of the above that they're going to give him. And so, it's a hefty price to pay, both from an asset standpoint, what they did to give up to what they gave up to get him, but also the extension is a pretty significant one. But I think it should instill confidence in Byram that it's like, hey, you're our guy. Now it's up to you to perform.
Yeah, that's definitely what they're showing him with that contract. And you do bring up a good point, because free agency, a lot of people have said, has just lacked the star power. So the money might get a little bit elevated for some players. And the cap going up, I think, is helping it too. So You look at where the Hawks are financially. I mean, they can afford it, and they can afford a Bedard extension and some of the other guys that when the time comes. So I wouldn't worry too much about the money. I mean, he's obviously got to perform, right, when you get a big contract. I mean, look at the Cubs. Alex Bregman struggled. He's got the big contract. Everyone's asking questions, right? So it does put you under a spotlight, but I don't think it should hamper them right now. Maybe in hopefully 5 years when they're going deep into June, and then maybe there's a salary cap crunch. But right now, they're totally fine with that. And I think it does help instill that confidence. Like, hey, we want you here. And that's basically what Byron was saying. Is like, I feel like they want me here. I'm a place where I'm wanted. And hopefully that turns into on-ice production.
It really is just the risk involved from the Blackhawks is because he is not, or he has not gotten the ability to show that he is a number one defenseman.
You're projecting it.
Correct. They're banking on him becoming a number one defenseman in the role that he's going to play here. We mentioned Quinn Hughes going from Vancouver to Minnesota. The Wild gave up a significant amount for him, knowing that they were getting Quinn Hughes, a top two defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah.
Top three defenseman, Kale McCarr, Zach Werenski. The three of them are in a tier on their own. So they knew what they were getting in Quinn Hughes. The Hawks are banking on or betting on Bowen Byram to become a number one defenseman. So that's where the risk comes in from a Chicago standpoint. Last thing I'll say about this Bowen Byram extension. So the cap hit isn't something to look at when you see these deals. It's the cap percentage of what the player takes up of the salary cap percentage. So the cap percentage is basically Bowen Byram's taking up 11%. Now, this is kind of the standard for number one defensemen. Like Rasmus Dahlin, when he signed his extension in 2023, it was an 8-year, $88 million extension. Cap hit was 11.5, I believe, or somewhere in that range. That cap percentage was 12.5%. So, but another player to think about this is, so I don't know if you remember this, but Brian Campbell back in 2008 signed a 7-year contract with the Blackhawks. It was a $7.1 million cap hit. The salary cap ceiling at the time, I believe, was like $57 million. Oh. Now it's double that.
Yeah.
At the time, Brian Campbell's cap percentage for the Blackhawks was 12.5%. And the thing that kind of makes the Campbell signing and the Byram acquisition then signing fairly similar is that in Brian Campbell's first few years in the NHL, he showed that he was a for sure top four defenseman, but he didn't have the numbers to show that he was a number one. It wasn't until the year prior when he had a breakout season where he had a career high 62 points with Buffalo and San Jose, and it was in the 07-08 season. But prior to that, his best season was 48 points. With Bowen Byram, his career high is 42 points.
Yeah.
So I think the Hawks are basically saying, if we give him 25 minutes a night, which Brian Campbell got with Buffalo and San Jose, he got 25 minutes a night. Prior to that, I think his best season was like around 21 minutes per game. That's what Byram was getting in Buffalo. So I think the Hawks are basically saying, if we give Byram 24, 25 minutes a night, we think he could be a 60 to 70 point player and be that number one defenseman. So that's how I see the similarities. And I also think the last similarity, I think, is the Hawks acquiring Byram is also communicating to the rest of the NHL, hey, like we're going to be a destination for players to want to come here again, because we want to start advancing this thing forward. And the acquisition for Byram ends up communicating that, or signals that the Blackhawks are kind of, they're ready to not just take a step in the rebuild, they're ready to take a big step forward going into next season.
Yeah, that's a good point about the minutes, because in Buffalo he was on the second pair. He was not really on the power play because they're just loaded on defense, Buffalo was. So the Hawks giving him this opportunity, it's his time, like you said. That's a good comparison to Brian Campbell. I saw a lot of that on Twitter when they traded for Byram, the similarities between those two and the cap percentage. It's weird though, it's 56 20 years ago. So
I mean, it seems like a different world.
Yeah,
like
that's crazy.
$7.1 million. That was the going rate for like a top defenseman, and now it's
might
gonna
be 20. Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, Byram's gonna get the runway for sure this year. So it'll be really interesting to watch especially year one before that contract kicks in. Because if he gets like the Brian Campbell year before he comes to Chicago, you're sitting there like, oh, it's not a bad deal at all. So right. We'll see what he can do.
All right. So that was like the big storyline that we hadn't addressed because we recorded the podcast pre-NHL draft. And so the Hawks made that deal in the days prior to that. Then fast forward, we'll get to the NHL draft in a little bit, but let's fast forward to free agency on Wednesday. The Blackhawks were they were quiet, but we expected them to be quiet because right. We've talked ad nauseum that this free agent class is one of the thinnest that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think I actually said that last year too, and I think it might be something that is going to be more of the norm.
That's what it seems like, yeah.
Because a lot of players are either they have full no movement clauses, so they're kind of dictating where they want to go and then sign their extension, so they never get to the market, or they re-sign with their teams and they stay there, similar like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Kirill Kaprizov. Like that was a summer where we thought a lot of those players were going to become available, and then they all re-signed with their respective teams, and so. Really, if you want to get stuff done, it's going to have to be via trade.
Like the Byram trade,
yeah. Exactly. And so the Blackhawks made really just two notable signings. Depth forward Cole Smith, 3 years, $3 million cap hit. And then veteran defenseman Ian Cole, 1 year, $4 million cap hit. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion with the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2016 and 2017. To me, Jack, this feels like, I simplify it like this. Cole Smith was brought in to fill the Ilya Mikheyev role because Mikheyev moved on to the Tampa Bay Lightning on a four-year deal. We'll get to that in a second. And then Ian Cole is here to fill the Connor Murphy role, penalty kill, defensive zone starts, steady Eddie, veteran presence for some of the young players on the back end because Connor Murphy was traded to the Edmonton Oilers. So the Hawks are just finding some stop gaps, bringing some veteran presence at both the forward group and the defense side to fill the holes that they left in Mikheyev and Murphy.
Right. Yeah. They needed some veteran presence, like you said, because this team's so young. So they needed some. And Smith seems like a good signing for the bottom six, just because the Hawks do need some of that physicality. And we saw that towards the end of the year, they would get roughed around a little bit, and they need someone that can add that punch, you know, so that helps. And then obviously he fills a penalty kill with Mikheyev leaving, and that helps too. And then Cole, just a veteran defenseman. I mean, they needed, like, I think, what is isn't Vlasic like the oldest? Him and Byram are like the two oldest, so they need someone with some NHL seasons under their belt, and he's won two Stanley Cups, so that wisdom could be valuable for the young guys.
No question. I think Ian Cole also, I think he averaged more than 18 minutes of ice time with Utah last year. And the year prior, he averaged 20 minutes. So he's up there in age, but he's still logging respectable minutes. Yeah. He's not just, hey, come be a locker room guy, yeah. And, you know, just be here for some good vibes and bring your, like, he's going to contribute on the ice. And I think what I like about that signing is the Hawks have so many young players,
yeah.
Young defensemen, that if the Hawks run into a situation where, like, they go through some injuries and they need guys to play a little bit higher in the lineup, like, Ian Cole is a guy that can step in there, and you're not throwing a guy like, you know, Kevin Korchinski. They're like, oh, we need you to play on the second pairing tonight because, you know, a couple guys are hurt. So I think that's going to be, again, it's not, neither of these signings are sexy, but they're right. In the short term, they kind of plug a hole and buy some time for the Blackhawks forwards and some of the defensemen to grow. Let's talk about really quick the Ilya Mikheyev, how the Hawks moved on from him. So he signed a four-year contract at a $3.8 million cap hit with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And on the surface, you're thinking, that would have been a great contract here in Chicago.
Right.
Now, there was a debate whether the Hawks wanted to go beyond 3 years, so maybe the Hawks held firm and not wanting to go to a fourth year, or was it less about the 4 year and more about what that AAV is going to be on the fourth year. And so I looked at that and I'm like, man, a $3.85 million cap hit, I would have done that for 4 years. But then you have to remember Tampa Bay is a no state income tax. Right. So he's going to see more of that money. So in Chicago, on a 4 year deal, that's likely going to be closer to the $5 million range, and that's probably not a level that the Hawks wanted to go in, nor do I blame them for doing so. So if it was a four-year, $3.85 million here in Chicago, I probably would have done that. But it was,
they probably would too.
Yeah. And so if it was, but if it was four times five, that probably would have been too rich for me.
Yeah. It seemed once they weren't able to get it in season to keep Mikheyev, it did seem like they weren't able to get to a point where he was going to come back, which, I mean, he was really good. I think he was pretty underrated here in Chicago. Just, he scored 20 goals his first year, and then last year, I mean, Jeff Blashill talked all the time about how good he was on the penalty kill. I mean, the Hawks had a great penalty kill last year. I know a lot of things went wrong, but they had a great penalty kill last year, and he was the main reason. So it is sad to see him go, but Hal Davidson's had a pretty good knack of kind of picking guys up, either whether it's like there's a salary cap crunch and they take on an asset and they get a player, and the player turns out to be pretty good. Like, you look at Jason Dickinson and what that netted in return. So hopefully these two signings and free agency with Smith and Cole can have that impact with the team.
That is my one worry about Mikheyev moving on to Tampa Bay, is he was such an identity member of the penalty kill that, you know, we can look at Cole Smith and be like, oh, he's going to be the next Mikheyev and he's going to get the PK stuff. But there was something about Mikheyev that just, you know, like, you knew that, oh, number 95 is over the boards on a PK. Hawks are good. Like,
all over the opponent.
there was a comfortability factor to it when he was on the ice. And so I'm not sure the Hawks are going to be able to replicate that with Cole Smith. But again, at this point in the rebuild, the Blackhawks, the financial picture starts to become very important. So Kyle Davidson is making a calculated decision not to clog up some of the financial picture in a couple years when the Hawks are hopefully competing for playoff spots and Stanley Cups, and you're like, oh man, we tied up some money to guys that are now in our bottom six and we should have prioritized our core and then have everything trickle down under that. And so that's kind of the puzzle pieces that Kyle Davidson is wrestling with. The Hawks also did make a minor move last week in trading Andre Burakovsky to the Ottawa Senators for a sixth round pick in 2027. Burakovsky, I never thought he was going to be a buyout candidate for the Blackhawks this season, because I didn't think it was urgent to like actually need to get his money off the books, like from a financial standpoint. It's not like they were in a cap crunch, but once the Blackhawks acquired Jordan Greenway from the Buffalo Sabres as part of the Bowen Byram deal, and they signed Roman Kantsarov and they got Cole Smith here, the roster is starting to look pretty crowded. And so the Hawks basically did Andre Burakovsky a solid by saying, go have a fresh start in Ottawa. But at the same time, the Blackhawks are also kind of looking at it like, we didn't have a spot here for you anymore. You were going to get squeezed out. And so Ottawa steps up. The Senators needed to acquire some more forwards because of the Brady Tkachuk trade that he got, their captain got shipped off to Florida. And so he goes to Ottawa. And so, really confusing season for Burakovsky. Like,
I was just replaying it in my head.
I mean, the first 3 months of the season, like, we were literally, there were probably Blackhawks live shows that we did where we were wondering why he wasn't on Team Sweden's radar to make their Olympic roster. Like, that's how well he was playing in the first 3 months of the season on Connor Bedard's line. And then he just completely tailed off after Connor got hurt. He never really found his rhythm again, nor his confidence. And it was just unfortunate the way that it ended, because I thought the Hawks found a real nice piece in Burakovsky. And then, like, months later, we're talking about the Hawks getting rid of him for a sixth-round pick to Ottawa.
Yeah, it is crazy to just replay it. Like, when the Hawks were playing really good those first 2.5-3 months, and then the injuries hit. I mean, Burakovsky was a big reason why. I think he only had, 4 points in his last, 27 games or something, but he had 35 total in the season, so it shows you how productive he was at the beginning of the year.
Right.
It is really confusing, the season he had. I think he described it well with that, especially playing with Connor Bedard. I mean, he was setting him up, and it just, he couldn't find the back of the net, and then I think he said that hurt his confidence, and unfortunately he gets traded because now they have the roster crunch and they've added all these young guys and some of these depth forwards.
And Burakovsky too, like we've talked for years now about who's going to be Bedard's permanent line mate, right? And last year it was like Bedard and Burakovsky were so good together, and it like that quieted down that talk for a while for the first 3 months of the season because they were so well together. And now, ironically enough, the Hawks are back into a similar spot where they're contemplating who's going to be the line mate for Connor Bedard. Is it going to be a Roman Kancerov? Is it going to be a Frank Nazar, a Nick Lardis, an Oliver Moore, a Ryan Green, who played most of last season with Bedard? And so that's going to be something that I'm sure we'll be talking about throughout the summer, on how are the lineups going to work and who's going to be Bedard's permanent line mate. But you know, the fact that Burakovsky like was that for the first 3 months of the season and then, you know, just kind of tailed off, like it like opened the door for us to have this conversation again, because, you know, Burakovsky had that drop off. And so that was unfortunate to see that, but hopefully we wish Burakovsky the best with the Ottawa Senators. Last thing, let's talk about the NHL draft and the Blackhawks. For the first time in the Kyle Davidson era, zero first round picks.
It's very quiet.
We were there. We were at the Blackhawks Ice Center, and we were watching the draft there on Friday. And it was funny because we were joking around with Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times, who's we love Ben's work here because he helps us out on the postgame shows a lot. Yeah. And it was funny because he put out on Twitter going into Friday, like he took a picture of the Blackhawks ice facility on the outside and said, he's like, there's a 90% chance I'm here to do nothing today.
Yeah.
And we, sure enough, we went there, we watched the draft. Hawks didn't trade into the first round.
Yep.
As soon as the 31st pick was made, we made sure that that didn't get traded. It did get traded, and as soon as we saw the trade, we're like, all right, let's pack up and go home, because Ottawa needed to make that selection at number 32. And so it was a quiet day one of the draft for the Blackhawks, but a busy day two in the second round, where they draft defenseman Xavier Villeneuve with the 34th overall pick, and then they were supposed to pick 37th, but they trade up two spots to acquire, or to basically draft, Ryan Rubrik, who's a Rubrik.
Yeah.
Power forward type player.
Right.
For the Blackhawks. So both of those players, Villeneuve and Rubrik, were originally projected to go in the top 10 going into the season. And for various reasons, their stock fell a little bit. Villeneuve with the size factor.
Right.
He's under 6 feet. You know, that's obviously, you want your defenseman to be heavier in the, taller and heavier in the NHL. That's kind of like stylistically what the traits that a lot of teams look for. And then with Rubrik, the most of the concerns were based on the consistency of his motor and like whether he you know, you can untap more of that. But I thought, I liked what the Blackhawks did in the draft, because they swung for high ceiling players, not floor. And so they're basically like, all right, we've accumulated all these picks and prospects for the last 3-4 years. Why don't we go try to chase some high ceiling players rather than floor players that can be third line guys, fourth line guys? And why don't they just get, you know, they went after a Villeneuve who can be like a mini Quinn Hughes, a Lane Hutson type player, right? Like if it all clicks, like that's what we're talking about, his ceiling. And then with Rubrik, we're talking about a legit power forward, a guy that could be annoying to play against, Matthew Nyes-ish, right? Like we talked about how the Hawks have reportedly have interest in Matthew Nyes. And so it just feels like the Hawks decided to swing for upside in the draft. And so I like the thought process for Chicago, knowing that the Blackhawks have accumulated all these prospects, like might as well go swing for the fences on some ceiling players.
Absolutely. Yeah, just diving into it, because we had that long break in between picks, so I was looking at these two guys they picked, and if they're able to work their development and figure out like what they can be, and just they're able to hit, like you said, these would be high impact players. And at this point, when you just look at the lineup, it's all your first and second, and in some cases third round picks are up there. So and with a lot of these guys graduating from, they're either coming to North America or they're getting out of college, like they're going to Rockford, like they don't have room, I guess, for a lot of these guys to play. So if you're just picking, and they're and then your system's clogged. So I like them taking a big swing, kind of like last year when they traded for Mason West too.
Right, the Grand Slam hack.
Yeah, the Grand Slam hack. Yeah. So it feels like that was kind of the start of it last year, and then this year Davidson and company were just like, we're gonna try to hit on some home runs here, and if they do, I mean, you look at the lineup in a few years, it's like, oh man, it's loaded. So I did like that. I think I turned to you on Saturday. I'm like, Villeneuve feels like a really solid pick here just based on what he can be and their thought process behind it. And we talked to Davidson after, and we heard they're just like, that's who they wanted, and the upside could be really big.
The Blackhawks also had development camp this week. Yeah. When we're recording this, we're recording this at the end of development camp, but this was the first time in 4 years that they hadn't had on ice portion the first time in 4 years that they brought back the on ice portion. And just watching Villeneuve like hit the ice,
yeah,
like the way his feet move and like his hands, I'm like, holy cow, like just him skating, like doing nothing, you could see the skill level and like your eyes just get drawn to it. And Villeneuve actually had maybe the quote of development camp so far, and he was basically talking about like, why is Duncan Keith your favorite player? And he was like, he was the guy that made me fall in love with the position of defenseman, because he eats 30 minutes, he's a rink rat. And interestingly, I was just kind of doing some research, I was like, oh, like Duncan Keith, like he in his draft year 2002, he got a lot of flack for his size, and he got overlooked because of his size. So I'm like, oh, well, I was like, Duncan Keith got overlooked for his size? Like, what do you mean? He was like 6'1", he was like 195, like what do you mean his size? Well, I go back and look at his draft combine measurements, and Duncan Keith was listed at 6 feet, 168 pounds in his draft combine.
Yeah.
Villeneuve is just under 5'11", 164 pounds.
Yeah.
So 4 pound difference, 1 inch difference. But Duncan Keith eventually grew one more inch, and then he also added 25 pounds of muscle and became Duncan Keith. Now, I'm not comparing the two, because stylistically, Villeneuve is more like a Quinn Hughes, Lane Hutson, and Duncan Keith is more just stalwart defensively, two-way guy. But I'm like, man, if Duncan Keith is someone that you're watching and you have watched your entire life, you know, that's it's a great player to be watching, but it's great that he has those, he's thinking on that level. Like, it just seems like he's a total hockey junkie, and he's very very enjoyable to talk to. He's like, he's got this energy about him, he's like smiley, he's supremely confident, like he's so confident in his own skin. And he has skyrocketed to number one on my Blackhawks prospect rankings when it comes to guys that I'm intrigued of. Like, he's number one now on, like, I am most intrigued about what Villeneuve is going to be.
Yeah, I saw the clips rolling in, and you could just see, even when he's just doing like simple stick handling drills, you're just like, oh yeah, this guy's talented. So it's about gaining some weight. And we were talking after the draft, I guess his dad's 6'1", so he's only 18, so he could grow. You never know. Like you said, Duncan Keith grew an inch. So he seems like a very exciting player, a player that fans would gravitate to as well. And following him at BU will be fun to watch and see how they develop. I mean, Lane Hutson went there, so he's going there too. And the Hawks liked how they handled defensemen of his size, so he'll be fun to follow in the fall at BU.
So we have reached the point in the hockey calendar where all the big events have happened. Stanley Cup final, done. All the trades that happen after the Stanley Cup final, most of the big stuff is all done. NHL draft over, NHL free agency, day one is over. So now we're hitting into the calendar where it's likely going to be pretty quiet until we reach training camp on, I believe it's going to be mid-September. And so this is probably going to be the roster that the Blackhawks go in with this summer. I still think they might make maybe one or two moves. I think the Hawks should upgrade their backup goaltending position. We'll see if they can accomplish that. But Kyle Davidson made it known that while the Hawks have done most of the heavy lifting, his phone's going to be on all summer. Yep. So we'll see kind of what happens between now and training camp. But we're kind of going to reach the point now of the off season where it's going to be pretty dark. And so dark from like a standpoint of like, there's not going to be much league action.
Newsy items.
Newsy.
Yeah.
So we'll pop in here every once in a while throughout the summer in case there's something big to talk about. Connor Bedard extension,
right.
Possibly.
I was going to say.
We'll definitely pop in. But if you don't hear from us between now and whenever, that probably means the Blackhawks are quiet and they're preparing for training camp. But so it's been fun to do this, pop in every once in a while here in the off season, and looking forward to popping back on if something major happens.
Yeah, I think we get the schedule in a few weeks and then we can start planning our fall.
That's
there,
right.
You go. Yeah,
maybe we'll pop in and do a schedule
breakdown.
Do a schedule breakdown. I totally forgot about that. All right, that's gonna do it for Blackhawks Live. For Jack, for Charlie, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.